a student project manager at the Clark Forum for Contemporary Issues at Dickinson College. I'm joined today by Andrew Inokpa and Laren Wells. They were panelists on the Clark Forum program last night, organizing against gun violence, Gen Z in action. And they are joining me for an interview this morning. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I'll start with a couple of contextualizing questions. Andrew, could you tell me a bit about your mission with the Accountability Initiative, really like the root of your work?
Of course. So the Accountability Initiative, we're an organization of young advocates dedicated to giving back to our communities through advocacy, mentorship, and service. So those three components, we have 9 chapters across the country, and each chapter tackles those issues in different ways. The advocacy component, some chapters focus on like anti-gun violence efforts, homelessness outreach efforts, and other areas that might be more prevalent in one community versus another. The mentorship component is one of my favorites. It's us going out into communities as college students to talk to different youth about college readiness, career readiness, because I found that a lot of and the individuals in some of the communities we work with, they don't see themselves going to college because they don't know a mother, father, brother, sister, aunt, uncle that went to college. So they don't have those resources. So it's our goal to help them in that way, help guide them. Mm-hmm. And then service, we do like different service activities ranging from food giveaways to like toy drives and stuff like that. So that's what the Accountability Initiative is at its core.
Yeah, I love the idea of, using community engagement as a tool preventatively against gun violence.
Yes.
And Laren, can you tell me about the mission of Students Demand Action and Moms Demand Action, since they're kind of sisters, and your role as a chapter lead?
Absolutely. So just as a broad overview, the Students Demand Action organization is a national org. So overall, we're focused preventatively on gun violence. So that can look like outreach to communities. It can look more locally, like talking to city council members, finding different ways to integrate into the community. Then we also work statewide, so that's talking to legislators, but also definitely we have a focus on public awareness and kind of appeals to the public so that we can share information either about important bills that are coming up that we'd like them to vote for, sharing information about candidates who are supportive of gun violence prevention, and then also with an emphasis on safety overall. So sometimes that means sharing safe storage information. Sometimes it looks more like talking about different statistics that sometimes surprise people, but it gets them more interested into the cause, and then we can kind of explain more about what we do. But on a local level, our Pittsburgh chapter is definitely focused on building relationships with our community. So as a chapter lead, that looks like collaboration with other clubs, with other orgs in the area, and sometimes Moms Demand Action too. I mean, we have an event in Harrisburg on the 29th, and they've been really great. They offered a carpool, our Students Demand Action students. So it's definitely been really useful to collaborate with them. They're a great group of moms, and Moms Demand Action, you don't even have to be a mom to join. It's basically the step from Students Demand Action if you're not a student, but you want to be engaged in your community.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And then just a general question for both of you. Andrew, you can go first. If you could just talk about how you initially got involved in activist work and community engagement.
That's a good question. I think I've always been a kind of person who was an advocate for people, was outspoken. I was a shy kid in middle school, believe it or not. I didn't want anyone to talk to me. I was that kid in the corner that sat alone. But I had a mentor who like kind of helped me grow out of my shell, and he taught me like how to interact with people and how to advocate for my school. So I ended up running for class president in high school, and I ended up winning. And through that position, I was able to really take student concerns and bring it to the administration. And I was very successful in that. So after high school, I graduated and everything, and I started seeing things going on in my community, that were on a larger scale. Starting from discrimination happening in schools to gun violence happening at the college level at Temple. Mm-hmm. So I used those skills that I learned in high school to kind of take those student concerns and bring it to people in positions of power to make change. So I would say that that was kind of how I started.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you. And Larry?
So for me, I think it really started on the level of individual conversation. Like when something would come up in the news or when there was a shooting at my high school, my friends and I would talk about it and not just talk about how we felt, which was important, but also like asking the question how we can do something. And I think that's a lot of the time a question that people have is like, how do I get involved? How can I make a difference? Mm-hmm. And so I feel like for me, after friends and I talked about what we wanted to do and what our goals were, then, I mean, it felt natural that we kind of found SDA, or maybe they found us, mm-hmm. And reached out when we had the shooting at our high school. And in college, I think it was just something that kind of stuck with me as something I wanted to continue. Mm-hmm. And so ever since starting that chapter, it's been the same thing. Like, friends and I will talk about it, and we'll come up with a new initiative that we want to try out. And so it's really started and rooted in conversation.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you. And then I have a few more kind of tailored questions, or I guess one tailored question for each of you. So Andrew, I read about the college readiness workshops that your Temple chapter does. Could you speak to that and expand on what other community engagement you do?
Yeah, of course. So the college readiness workshops is something I try to guide all of our chapters to do. Because like I told you, like in a lot of the communities that we reach, you know, students necessarily don't see themselves going to college, you know, and this could be debated on like if college is the best path or whatever. Mm-hmm. I still believe that college sets you apart from others. You know, getting a college degree, you go into college, you make all those connections, mm-hmm. and you come out with a degree. I feel like it sets you apart. Some might disagree because of, you know, all the debt that you might be in afterwards. That's something I'm not looking forward to paying. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's something that we definitely try to instill. In terms of other community outreach, we're looking to be more, to focus on more outreaching to, you know, local elected officials, mm-hmm. Especially as I'm gaining more of an understanding of the political field in Philadelphia. You know, outreach to elected officials, bringing student and youth concerns to those elected officials, and continue to just to be a guide to them, you know, mm-hmm. continuing to be someone that I want my organization to be a place where young people can look up to youth individuals, because mm-hmm. sometimes all you need is one person to believe in you to mm-hmm. to deter you from, you know, doing something crazy. Yeah. And that's what I want my organization to be.
And I, just for kind of context for those listening who maybe aren't familiar with community engagement as a form of violence prevention, how do you see these college workshops kind of setting your students or mentees up for success?
Yeah, so, you know, some of these conversations that we have in these college and career readiness workshops, they haven't had those conversations before. Mm-hmm. It causes them to think that if they're not in the best position right now, they can get there, you mm-hmm. know, like, I can't, like, if I'm a student, I'll be like, oh, like, I had a conversation with a college student, mm-hmm. you know, they're not too far in age from me. Mm-hmm. If I wanted to do it, I actually can, you know. I think I shared yesterday in one of the, in the discussion mm-hmm. was, you know, I worked with a 16-year-old kid and he didn't have a resume before. He never had a resume, so we helped him create a resume. And he it didn't really click what we were doing until it was done. And I was like, yeah, you can go apply for jobs with this, you know? And he was like, oh, really? I can apply for a job with this? That's cool, man. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he has something to do now. You know, yeah. He's just not sitting around. He doesn't slip into the wrong crowd. He's able to be productive in doing something, and he's able to have a goal, you know? When you're working, when you're making money, when you're doing something to build yourself up mm-hmm. in a way that is anti-gun violence work, you know, because it's giving them opportunities. Yeah. And that's what we're all about.
Awesome. Absolutely. Laren, I know your chapter has kind of explored gun violence as a public health issue, especially considering your educational background in medicine and biology. Can you speak to the this connection, or maybe like the future you see with gun violence prevention as public health work?
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the main reasons why we view it as public health is that it is the number one killer of children. And so when you consider that it's not cancer or car accidents and it's guns, it's affecting the safety and security of children and also of everyone in the community. So I think viewing it as a public health issue takes away some of the hesitancy that people might have sometimes to talk about it, because it does affect you. It affects you psychologically. There's physiological effects of not feeling safe and having anxiety and fear. And then on the medical side too, and this is kind of a more specific area of gun violence prevention,
mm-hmm.
there are a lot of programs that go into hospitals, like hospital-based intervention programs, and they'll talk to victims of gun violence and support their families to try and break the cycle of gun violence. So yeah, I feel like there's a lot of contributions to your daily life,
mm-hmm.
In terms of this issue and how it affects how you live, and also just your sense of safety. And so I feel like that's definitely related to public health. And in terms of where I see it going, I think I'd like to see people feel comfortable getting involved, even if it's one small step here or there. And then just kind of developing a sense of confidence in the issue, like wanting to tackle it, wanting to feel comfortable stepping into the space where they can be involved and engaged in the issue. And I think for us right now, that looks like talking to state reps and public officials on a state level.
Mm-hmm.
I think federally is great. There's a lot of organizations working to do that. Our organization is working to do that on a national level. But for our chapter specifically, I think we've had a lot of meaningful conversations with state reps. And so we're looking to continue that in the future so that they can hear our perspective and hear what's important to us as students.
Yeah, as someone who's interested in public health, that connection really speaks to me, and it's very interesting for, you know, looking towards the future. And I just have one kind of larger question for both of you guys to wrap up the interview. I know it's kind of a hard one, but if you could wave a magic wand and pass one piece of federal legislation regarding guns, what would it be?
I would say a targeted look at ghost guns. For those listeners who don't know, ghost guns are guns that are, they don't have serial numbers on them.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to track by law enforcement. Some even print them using 3D printers.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost guns are a big problem in our country, not only in the chapters that I work with, but in around the country. And unfortunately, as I shared yesterday, talking about Philadelphia specifically, a large amount of the gun violence that's going on is it's targeting our youth, you know. They're the highest level of perpetrators and victims.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, a lot of these crimes are used. A lot of these individuals that commit these crimes use ghost guns.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had to wave my magic wand, that would be one big step, you know, that I like to see the federal government and, you know, state and local governments address.
Yeah, and there's definitely ways to work towards that bigger goal from
yeah.
the state and local level.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then, Lauren, what would you say?
Yeah, for me, I mean, there's a lot of legislation that I'm an advocate for, but I would definitely say red flag laws
mm-hmm.
or extreme risk protection orders.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give some context as to what those are, it's basically a law that gives people in the community the ability to petition a local court so that if someone is showing to be a danger to themselves or others, the local court can temporarily remove their access to a firearm. And it has shown to be very effective in states across the country. Not all of our states have them, under half of them do, but they've been incredibly effective. Like in Connecticut, after ERPOs, that's extreme risk protection orders, after those were increasingly enforced, there was a 14% reduction in suicide rates. And I mean, that relates back to public health, right? A majority of gun violence is related to suicide. So if we can just create some distance in terms of time between when someone is feeling the urge to get a gun, whether it's to harm themselves or somebody else, if there can be some distance in time between how long they can get that gun, that gives an opportunity for intervention. And then also it prevents people who have shown to potentially want to harm others. It prevents them from having access to those firearms.
Thank you. And again, ways to address that from the local to state to federal level. So that's all the questions I had for you guys today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much.
Visiting Dickinson in the first place.
Of course.
Yeah,
no,
the campus is beautiful. The students have been really great.
Yeah. Food around here is pretty good too.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.